Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present Life Talk Live, a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health. A show about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Coleman, and by Lee's Veterinary Hospital and veterinarian Bruce Lee, located at 2126 2nd Avenue Northwest here in Coleman, or online at leesvethospital.com. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Life Talk Live, Dr. Howard Rogers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Life Talk Live. I am Howard Rogers.
And I'm Richard Morris.
It's good to have you with us. We're going to spend some time today talking about living with mental illness. It's, I think, a topic that needs to be covered because there's so much involved. And you don't just have mental illness.
No, in some ways it has you.
Yeah. And everything that touches you.
That in particular means friends, family, acquaintances, people in the community. In short, everybody.
Now, some people think it's a transmittable disease, that it's like measles or mumps or chicken pox. If you get around a person that has mental illness, you're going to catch it.
Well, that's not quite the way that works. Most of those mental illnesses have a pretty strong genetic component.
And that's I think, some point what we want to touch on. But how does mental illness affect a person?
Well, in a lot of ways, it depends on what their diagnosis is.
Let's take a little time and go through some of the diagnosis.
Well, if you're talking about mental illness, it can be most common ones are major depressive disorder or bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, and related things like schizoaffective disorder, delusional disorders. Those are that obsessive compulsive disorder.
And then we have these anxiety, stress, all
panic
of those
disorder, panic agoraphobia. There's as many as there are just about, well, fingers and toes. Anyway,
and as we go down through these disorders, you think, okay, I don't have a mental disorder, and I'm betting you that I can find one if I talk to you long enough. It may not be a serious mental illness, but a mental disorder, I'm betting that almost everyone, I have something, I'm OCD, I like to wash my hands. I really do. I am a germaphobe. I am also claustrophobic.
Well, if you are, let's say, a physician or a nurse, washing your hands is one of the best ways you can prevent contamination or cross-contamination.
It's amazing. I don't remember the author of the book, but the name of the book was None of These Diseases. And he cut the cross-infection rate in hospitals many years ago just by simply teaching physicians, you know, you need to wash your hands. So, yeah.
And one of my hobbies is antiques.
Yeah.
And I bought a doctor's bag one time, and in it was a syringe that the doctors carried with them. Now, these days, you know, you have a disposable syringe.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, this had a thermometer on the inside that you could take out. It had a brass end on a needle, and then a barrel where you could draw up the fluid, whatever it was. And this was nickel plated, I believe, or it may have been stainless steel. But the doctor in those days would take the syringe with him from room to room and use the same syringe on his patients. Now, as I understand it, they did wash it with alcohol.
Oh, well, good. And yeah, the outside of the needle.
But that was a very wise thing to do, you know, get past that.
So OCD there is really a good thing. But we all have some little thing within our makeup, within our being, that could be very easily classified as a mental disorder.
But what we're primarily talking about today are the more serious forms of those things.
I think SMIs is what they're called in the mental health community.
And as an example, OCD, I had a client in Kentucky that had OCD to the extent that he couldn't work. And the reason he couldn't work was he was managing a store, and he would leave the store and drive home. Before he got home, he would have to turn around and go back and check the locks to make sure he'd locked them and that he had turned the lights out. He would get back in his vehicle and start home again. I'll shorten this story. It got to where he drove back and forth between the store and his home all night. And because he couldn't remember for certain whether he had turned it off and locked the door when he left. So that, when it gets to that extent, that is
it's a serious mental illness. It really is. But the diagnoses come, I think, in several different manners. There's a serious mental ill. There's, you know, what I refer to as a walking worried, episodic depression, stress, anxiety, things that might need medicating, but in all probability, a few sessions of therapy would knock them out. But
and there again, you're talking about diagnoses that are primarily anxiety, some long-term depression that's not as severe,
right?
Dysthymia would be considered to be the walking wounded, so to speak.
Right, right.
But then you also get into the delusional disorders, where people think that you see these things in the paper or on the computer or whatever, where people follow the stars around, stalking them and that sort of thing. Well, they have these delusions that this person's in love with them or wants to see them. So that is past the point of being in the walking wounded.
Right, right. Two M&Ms and call me in the morning won't work for that.
No, it won't.
So when we look at how mental illness affects a person, it has to be, I think, categorized a little bit deeper than that. Depends on the diagnosis. And maybe we need to look at the symptoms or the behavior that, and I don't know, we're going in a circle here. Does mental illness cause the behavior, or is it the behavior that causes the mental illness? But mental illness leads to behaviors that can be quite bizarre and confusing.
Well, that's true. And again, the types of behaviors and the extent to which they're bizarre or confusing is going to be related to the degree of illness that the person's experiencing. Mm-hmm. If someone has, say, a major depressive disorder,
right,
and they're in bed when they're not at work, well, they may be doing better than somebody who can't work because they're in bed all the time and just can't get up and do anything. But, you know, if you have, let's say, a germ phobia.
Me?
Yeah. And you wash your hands 10 or 20 times a day. That by itself is not a big deal. It doesn't affect your daily life.
Yeah, and I amplify on that there or blow that up. It's not necessarily a mental illness unless it puts you in a position where you're unable to practice the generally accepted activities of daily living.
Right. Well, that's it. And that has to do with the intensity of the experience, but also the your ability to cope with those symptoms that you're having, those behaviors. Now, if you're washing your hands 75 or 100 times a day and you end up with sores on them because of infection, or they're dried out and cracked,
right.
Then, mm-hmm. you know, at that point, you need to get some help. Maybe, absolutely. If nothing else, some hand lotion of some kind.
Use Germex with aloe instead of washing with soap. One of the examples that's given is that a man experiences severe anxiety when his wife leaves the house. Now, that doesn't happen to me unless Donna has the credit card. Then I get a little bit anxious. But that could be a real big problem if the wife worked or...
Well, it becomes a problem between the two of them, mm-hmm. regardless. And that, you see, again, that behavior is one that is specific to his relationship with his wife. Now, if he feels the same way about his kids going to school, and he follows the school bus to make sure they don't get off of it and that sort of thing, well, then it could become a larger problem. And it would become a problem if he works.
Mm-hmm. Because he'd be sitting there all day wondering, where's my wife? Where's my wife? Where's my wife?
Or where are my kids?
Yeah, my kids.
Or so that's again, the severity of it and how many different relationships are affected is part of that.
And when it comes to behavior, who decides what is proper behavior and what is not?
There is a wide variety of acceptable behavior. Now, having said that, there's also a pretty large variety of unacceptable behavior. Taking your clothes off and running down the street out here would probably not be acceptable to the police anyway.
True.
Although kids used to do that when I was in college, mm-hmm. not often and not many, but...
They call it streaking then?
They did.
Yeah, Ray Stevens had a song about that.
That's right.
And I think society pretty much has a general outline of behaviors that are acceptable and behaviors that aren't.
Well, right. Like in a group, one person standing up and kind of dominating the conversation, mm-hmm. is not usually acceptable. Mm. If you've got a group that's holding a discussion, a person that's bipolar and is in a hypomanic or manic phase will just sit there and rattle the whole time, whether it's on topic or not. And mm-hmm. that's another mm-hmm. thing, you know, in social situations, if you're talking in a group, it needs to be on the topic that's being discussed.
So something that a lot of us don't take into account in terms of, you know, societal accepted behavior, that changes over time. A story I can tell you, we were recently looking at some Ancestry.com data, mm-hmm. and some things kind of surprised us at what age people met and got married and what was considered acceptable 150 years ago. It's like, that would not fly today.
No, and it's amazing. My grandmother on my dad's side got married when she was 14, had my dad when she was 15, and my granddaddy, when he married that 14-year-old darling, was 21. Now, 21-year-old guy to come up my driveway after my 14-year-old daughter, I'd call the Undertaker because I'd have shot him.
He would be gone.
Yeah. And societal mores do change.
Right, right. But at a given time, at a certain point in time, today it would not be real. Well, I shouldn't say that. 50 years ago or 60 years ago, bathing every day was not as common as it is now.
Right, right.
But now, in sitting down to talk with somebody for the first time to interview them, that's one of the behaviors that we observe, is if they are not bathed, if they're not, you know, clean, then we look at that as a diagnostic symptom for one of a number of things.
Well, yeah, but you and I both do mental status exams. And that's the hygiene and dress is one of the things we look at.
And dress is another one of those things that people that have a mental illness oftentimes will have, let's say, non-culturally accepted dress wear.
Yes, yes.
Wearing stripes and plaids and shorts and a long sleeve sweater. those kinds of combinations that for most people.
Yeah, and everyone that dresses funky or is not really, you know, hypoclean may not necessarily be mentally ill, but boy, it's sure going to factor in any evaluation that person may have.
To a certain extent. I mean, that's part of their overall background and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Guys, I know we're up against a break, and I got a phone call coming in, but I've also got a message off Facebook, so I think y'all have piqued some interest. Let me get this call, and then I'll come back to y'all in a minute.
Okay. Okay.
Another area of problematic for people with mental illness is their thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oftentimes, a person's thoughts may be rapid, as in, well, with bipolar disorder and mm-hmm. a manic phase. They may be skipping from one topic to another. Again, that does not lend itself to cultural problems.
Right, and it seems that maybe culture is deciding what is mentally ill and what is not. So we have Brenda from Cullman.
Yeah, let's take her after the break.
Okay, sounds good. We'll be right back.
Well, also, y'all be thinking about this during the break. This from Facebook. A gentleman wants you to please discuss having symptoms but not meeting the criteria for mental illness.
Okay, we can do that.
Y'all can talk about what you want to say during the break, and we'll be right back in a minute.
Are you a talented artist, baker, or candlestick maker? Then you'll want to be set up at Maker's Market, happening December 15th from 9 o'clock until 4 o'clock, right in the middle of downtown Cullman at the Fest Hall Market Flats. Located in the heart of Cullman's beautiful historic warehouse district, vendor applications are being accepted now. More information on the festival itself or how to become a vendor, you can visit the Maker's Market page on Facebook, or you can send an email to makersmarketcullman@gmail.com. It's the 2018 Maker's Market coming to downtown Cullman, December 15th from 9 until 4 at the Fest Hall Market Platz.
Join Live 95 Thanksgiving Day as we begin a new tradition here in Cullman. Based on a true incident in his life that began on Thanksgiving Day in 1965 and which inspired a 1969 movie of the same name, Arlo Guthrie recorded Alice's Restaurant in 1967. Tune in at 12 noon or 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day to hear Alice's Restaurant. Right here on Live 95, Cullman's independent radio.
Seed Harvest Music Academy offers a rich musical learning environment for those families seeking to get a jump start on musical learning. Offering preschool and elementary musical classes, Seed Harvest offers strings, keyboard, percussion, and most musical instruments. Your child can choose between several musical ensembles or private lessons. Take your choice from the senior and junior guitar ensembles, the Cullman Homeschool Orchestra or Jazz Band, or the Cullman Youth Strings, just to name a few. Plus, sibling and ensemble discounts are available, and the folks at Seed Harvest will work with you to find a tuition rate that will work for your family. Now enrolling for Christmas singers, ages 6 to 12. More information is available online at seedharvestmusicacademy.org. Micah and Brittany Simpson play in our local community symphonic band and are willing and ready to work with your child today.
Welcome back. Live 95, Cullman's independent radio, is proud to present Life Talk Live, a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health. A show about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Cullman, and by Lee's Veterinary Hospital and veterinarian Bruce Lee, located at 2126 2nd Avenue Northwest here in Cullman, or online at leesvethospital.com. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Life Talk Live, Dr. Howard Rogers.
Welcome back. Hello, Brenda.
She may be gone. We'll give her a chance to call back in again.
Okay, because I think we know who she is and we know where she lives.
No, okay.
That ought to get her back in here. The question, discuss having symptoms but not having mental illness. In the mental health environment, we have what is known as activities of daily living and societal mores. Right. I ought to be able to get up. I ought to be able to dress. I ought to be able to brush my teeth, comb my hair, interact with people in places where I go. Now, I can be a total germaphobe, and I can be terribly claustrophobic symptoms of mental illness. But am I mentally ill with those two symptoms if I can still perform the majority of the activities of daily living?
Okay, and I worked with a psychiatrist at the mental health center that I worked at last who would not shake hands because of his germ phobia.
Yep, I can relate to that.
Okay, but it did not interfere with his ability to function on the job, to have a wife and a family, to take care of himself and to drive to and from work and to do and to have social interactions with other people both at work and at home.
So it's not as much the symptoms as it is the severity.
I think we've got the Brenda symptoms. Back too, by the way.
Hey, Brenda.
Hey, Howard.
How are you, Brenda?
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to know what was on your mind.
Well, I would like for you to discuss how we as professionals use the DSM-5 and how that actually is the vital determinator of whether you meet the criteria for the mental illness or not.
Hey, that's a fantastic idea. Can I identify you?
Well, I guess so. Some days I'm not sure who I am, but today I think I do. So.
This is Brenda, and she is married to one of us, and my wife's name is Donna. Brenda is also
a clue.
Yeah, that's a clue.
Brenda,
well,
is,
I am a retired therapist in the Coleman area, but
right.
I have another name when I work, and it's not Morris.
Yeah,
so you really don't know, right?
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to give that name away.
maybe I bet you don't know it, Howard. But I would like for you to talk a little bit about how many of us, like you, have germ phobia, but have other symptoms it's a symptom that's listed in the DSM-5, but yet we nowhere near meet the criteria. And many times I have somebody say, well, I'm pretty sure they're a borderline. Well, many people have borderline tendencies,
sure,
but do not meet the criteria in any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think it's important so that people who maybe have anxiety or whatever can be helped with treatment, but they don't have to worry that they're going to be, that they have to be mentally ill. I don't know if I'm making that clear or not.
Yes.
Okay, well,
yes.
let's start with the first thing you were saying, which is that the DSM, which is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual,
that is promulgated by the American Psychiatric Association.
Right, and is what is used by all of the mental health professionals to make diagnoses.
Some of whom we have, Richard and I have worked with.
Right, but the thing is, to get a diagnosis, you can have, let's say, three symptoms of depression.
Mm-hmm.
But not meet the criteria diagnosis of that. And one of those criteria might be that it has to be, those symptoms have to be there every day, most of the day, for at least 2 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's not the only situation like that. With most of the diagnoses, you have to have, say, 6 out of 9 of the symptoms that are characteristic of that disorder for a diagnosis to be given.
So correct.
Does that kind of answer your question on that?
Point, I just want to make one more. I'm going to hang up and listen. But is that you can sometimes benefit from treatment with drugs or just therapy or a combination of both without having met the criteria for, say, major depressive disorder.
So what you're saying is you could benefit from therapy and drugs without being mentally ill?
Yes, in certain situations, mm-hmm. say in a real stressful situation or trauma or death or something like
well,
that.
Well, and you just hit a very important point, which is that the severity of the symptoms you have is going to be somewhat dependent on the level of stress that your environment that your environment has.
Yeah.
Right. So if I'm mm-hmm. anxious, if I have anxiety problems, and then something's going on that raises my level of anxiety, then any symptoms that I have are going to be more severe, and I may actually develop some new symptoms that I haven't had prior to that. Is that what you're trying?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to hang up. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Brenda.
Bye.
For the person on Facebook, I think that we have covered the question that they had to discuss having symptoms but not having mental illness.
Right. And that, I think, Brenda calling clarified that
it
pretty
did.
Well, because the diagnosis is not all-inclusive. If you don't have all the symptoms, then you don't have it. That's not the way that works. We all have symptoms, and that's what you were talking about mm-hmm. earlier, Howard, is that to some extent, at some time or other, we all could be, well, we do have
we
symptoms.
Could have a sign that might lead to people believing.
Right. And that is unfortunate that all of us have to go through that, but it also explains how we're related mm-hmm. to the people who have a severe mental illness, because the symptoms that they have can often be very traumatic both for them and for the people around them, such as if you're thinking.
Yeah, now that's a biggie, isn't it?
Well,
that's,
if your thinking's not adequate, if you're having thought insertion, which is thoughts just coming into your head from outer space.
Yeah, and that's another thing we look at in our mental status. Is it fragmented? Is it tangential? Other words, is your thought a railroad, or is it a bunch of, Ys in the road?
Right. And that is part of the diagnosis or diagnostic tree, so mm-hmm. to speak, to make those diagnoses. Because for most people, it really doesn't matter if they're diagnosed with schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder. Their life is a problem for them oftentimes, regardless of what you call it. But it can make a difference for the person trying to diagnose it and or treat it, because the medications that are helpful may not be the same for one as for the other. They may treat part of the symptoms, mm-hmm. but not all of them.
And it's interesting, too, that with some disorders, they may be occupational or vocational specific. For example, schizoaffective disorder. Put that guy in a truck and let him drive it. He'd be happy. He doesn't want to interact with people anyway.
Well, now, that's probably schizoid.
Yeah, schizoid affective
personality. Yeah. But then, for other people, their perceptions. I mean, you and I can sit here and we know the sun's there and that it's, the sky's the color it is and the grass is still mostly green. And we share that and can say, well, that's, what it is. But now, mm-hmm. for other people, their perceptions may be just out of the world.
Our perception was that it was going to be daylight till we got through with this show. Because if we'd have known it was going to get this dark this quickly, we would have turned the lights on.
Well, Yeah, that's right. But the thing is the perception. I have had clients tell me that they had a persistent smell that was something nobody else
right.
smelled.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or a taste. The something had a metallic. They had a metallic taste
yeah.
in their mouth.
Yeah.
Now, some medicines can cause that. I'm not saying something mm-hmm. related to medication.
Right.
But anything that affects your perception of reality is going to have an effect on your ability to function in that reality. And that's
yeah.
really how mentally ill people are at a big disadvantage just because they can't trust the things in their environment.
And when we're talking about perception, we probably should point out that, you know, that follows the senses. You have vision, smell, taste, touch, hearing. All of those are susceptible to delusional or
hallucinatory behavior.
Yeah.
And I've had people with develop delusions based on their altered taste perception
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that somebody's trying to poison them. That's one of the more common ones.
But vision, I think, is not that prevalent. Some people see things that aren't there.
Well, mostly I've heard of people seeing ghosts,
yeah.
you know, or after images, a streak going across their vision, that sort of thing.
I had a client many, many years ago, and he was there because he was depressed and he had a couple of other minor things going on, and I asked him what he did. He said, "I'm a ghost hunter."
Okay.
I said, "You're what?" He said, "No, really, I'm a ghost hunter." And he had a card. He was a ghost hunter with his phone number on it, and he had a place where he bought all his things, and he went out looking for ghosts. And I'm wanting to say ding, 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 ding. But he didn't have any of the other qualifications of being mentally ill.
Well, and that goes back to the question we had about the having symptoms but not having a diagnosable
mm-hmm.
disorder.
Mm-hmm.
But now, hearing voices is a common sign or symptom, of serious mental illness. And if you're hearing voices that other people don't hear, that's the key part of that. If they're accusing you, if you're really depressed, if they're telling you you're awful, you're worthless,
right.
you know, that you ought to shoot yourself, those can be very destructive. The same thing with people talking about you.
Mm-hmm. Delusions are terrible. I at a mental health center in another county, had a young guy that was coming from a step-down unit, and he had this grandiose thinking, and I asked him who he was, and he said, "Well, my name," and he gave me his name, but he said, "I'm really God."
That's one of those things that is almost a joke, you know, mm-hmm. but it isn't, because I have met one or two people in all the years I've done this that feel that they're either God or Jesus or somebody with special powers. That's what
happened here. I worked with this guy, and he came in one morning and he said, "I have to apologize to you. I have learned that I am not God." And I was getting ready to celebrate and be joyous with him when he said, "God's my father, I'm Jesus." So, you know, delusions are kind of difficult at times. We have to be careful. Another real biggie in symptomology is mood.
Mood. Well, and think about it this way. If you're going from a perspective of hearing voices that are just talking in the background,
mm-hmm.
It can have a real effect on you when you realize that they're not real.
Yeah.
And you're questioning the reality of what's going on. Well, so even if you have a schizophrenia or related disorder, you can become very depressed because of it.
And when you find out you're not God.
Well, when you realize that that perception's false, but when you realize that you can't trust the input you're getting right. from your environment, right. mm-hmm. A lot of times you'll start to see the symptoms that go with depression, such as the withdrawal, social withdrawal.
Right.
Because I have been with some of my clients that were unable to stay in a room full of people because the voices mm-hmm. get worse. They get louder, and they're trying to follow all the conversations, and there's usually two or three more than there are people.
Right, and we were talking about being unable to work through your activities of daily living, and there's nothing like a good mood to prevent that.
No, when you're feeling very depressed and down, mm-hmm. I mean, you get common behaviors and symptoms. You isolate yourself. You sleep all the time, or you can't sleep at all.
Right, right.
If you're around other people, you're no fun to be around. Well, that then reinforces your isolation because people aren't sure they really want to be around you when all you've got to say is how awful the world is.
You're sucking the joy out of everything.
Well, and some really depressed people can take all the joy out of a room, mm-hmm. and they don't mm-hmm. do it because they want to. They do it because that's where they're at in the world.
Okay, now that's I think, a monumental point there. Looking at a person who is depressed and saying, get over it.
That's a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah.
And, of course, it helps them to feel better about themselves when they're not able to.
Yeah, yeah. But and as you were saying, you know, the person, that's where they are. That's not where they want to be.
No, and after the break, we'll talk a little more
about that. We're going to take a break now. We'll be back shortly.
Join Live 95 Thanksgiving Day as we begin a new tradition here in Cullman. Based on a true incident in his life that began on Thanksgiving Day in 1965 and which inspired a 1969 movie of the same name, Arlo Guthrie recorded Alice's Restaurant in 1967. Tune in at 12 noon or 5 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day to hear Alice's Restaurant right here on Live 95, Cullman's independent radio. No longer new. But still, all Cullman. We are Cullman's independent radio station. Live 95. WRJMLP, Cullman.
Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well Store is located in the middle of downtown Cullman, conveniently located just a block south of the courthouse. This locally owned business offers friendly, no waiting, personal service. How can it get any better than that? Well, here's how. How about the fact that they even deliver within the city limits of Cullman? You've got a sick kid? Well, what could be better than calling Medical Arts and asking them to deliver the medicine that you need? In fact, I can't think of another pharmacy that does that. They also have a large selection of food for special diets, as well as health food, oils, and supplements. Flu shots are available, too. They can be reached at 734-4933 or online at medicalartswellnessrx.com. Let Medical Arts Apothecary save your day.
Hey, this is Susan Atkinson with Medical Arts Apothecary and Living Well Natural Store. We have proudly been serving Cullman and its surrounding areas for over 60 years, and we appreciate your continued business.
The Good Hope Raiders are back in the state playoffs.
Quick will operate from the shotgun with Colton Bagwell beside him. Fakes it to Bagwell, throws to Dixon. Dixon's in the open field. 40, 45, midfield, 45, 40, to the 35. Eagles chasing him, and they're going to get him at the 20-yard line, but he's got another Raiders first down.
Live 95's Friday Night Live is your Raiders station in Good Hope's quest for a state title.
That's a beautiful spiral to Isaiah Green. Oh, my goodness, what a catch. Isaiah Green hauls it in. He tipped it from one hand to the other and hauled it in right on the sideline at the 45-yard line. sideline. He's got a Raider first down.
Second down and 10 for Jacksonville now. This is Wiggins. Oh, my goodness. He is hammered.
Boom.
Jared Pugh shot through the line of scrimmage like he came out of a cannon.
Raider Nation. Let's go. Let's go. Raider Nation. Let's go. Let's go. Raider Nation. You ready for some football?
This Friday night, the Good Hope Raiders look to tomahawk the Adiana Redskins in the quarterfinals of the state playoffs.
They don't have to snap it again. The Good Hope Raiders have defeated the Jacksonville Golden Eagles 27-12. The Raiders are headed to the quarterfinals of the state playoffs.
Raiders and Redskins in the quarterfinals of the state playoffs this Friday night. Listen locally at 95.5 FM. Stream at www.live95coleman.com. Join us on Facebook or listen anywhere in the world via the TuneIn Radio app. Just search WRJMLP. Raiders and Redskins in the quarterfinals of the state playoffs this Friday night here on your Raider station, Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio. You've thought about it. You've talked about it. You've even stared into the mirror dreaming about it. Well, now is the time, and Coleman Sports Fit is the place to get that body you've been wanting. Shaping Coleman since 1989, Coleman Sports Fit offers free weights and Cybex machines, treadmills, stair steppers, ellipticals, and an indoor track. Want to get wet? Take a swim in the indoor pool, whirlpool, or steam room. Coleman Sports Fit offers a variety of fun group classes too, like spinning, muscle pump, Zumba, cardio sculpt, or dance fit. Plus, Coleman Sports Fit has the area's only racquetball courts. And for seniors, Coleman Sports Fit is a proud provider of Silver Sneakers and Silver Fit, a senior's only exercise plan at little or no cost. Coleman Sports Fit Wellness Center, Highway 31 next to the Ag Center. For more information, visit ColemanSportsFit.com.
Welcome back. Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present Life Talk Live, a show that takes a look at relationships and mental health. A show about relationships with your family, relationships with your employer, relationships with yourself and everyone around you. This show is made possible by the support of the Delta Center, located at 300 First Avenue Southeast in Coleman, and by Lee's Veterinary Hospital and veterinarian Bruce Lee, located at 2126 2nd Avenue Northwest here in Coleman, or online at leesvethospital.com. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, here's your host for Life Talk Live, Dr. Howard Rogers.
With Richard Morris, we are from the Delta Center. You have our address, phone number 256-962-6296. We will see you for a variety of different symptoms. So if you would like to make an appointment, please feel free to give us a call. We were talking about people and they didn't really want to be mentally ill. They didn't do what they did out of desire. So how do we help them?
Well, the first thing we have to help with them with is identifying a group of people that are a source of support, a support group. That's that's what we title it. But it's it's friends, relatives, maybe people from your church or from an organization you've been active in. and then once you've kind of identified a group of people that you can bring in on, if it's a secret or you know, you can kind of bring in to let them know what's going on, they can help because they help you as a person with this problem to establish realistic expectations, first of all. Now, what do we mean by that?
Yeah. it's normal to feel the loss of what your loved one was able to do before the onset of mental illness, and trying to determine the extent to which they can reclaim those abilities. Can they cook?
Right.
Can they do their clothes? Can they do their grocery shopping? Can they make a grocery list?
And those are the basic things for taking care of yourself.
Right.
Now, but let's suppose that you have been an active person work-wise, job-wise. Mm-hmm. Well, if you have become very depressed, it may be that realistically, for at least a while, you need to get away from that and accept that for right now, you're not at a place where you can be gainfully employed.
True.
Now, that's going to lead to all sorts of problems because we work for a number of reasons. I mean, you know, because it feeds our ego. It also feeds our families and ourselves and allows us to do and go. And that can be depressing even in itself, facing the loss of those things, even temporarily.
And even if you had a physical illness that was not totally debilitating, a minor setback in that can cause a mental illness.
That's true. And the thing that people have to be aware of, and all of us can help with this, is to help them have realistic expectations.
What can they do?
For where they are right now. Mm-hmm. Now, suppose you have someone who has developed schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. They might eventually be able to work at something, whether it's a sheltered workshop or whether it's an actual job. It's going to be limited. And how they do is going to be dependent on the medication they're on, their regimen of actually doing that. You know, do they take 95% of their medications or 65%? Or do they tongue it, cheek it,
yeah,
spit it out, yeah, however you wanted to call it?
Right.
And in the process, delay or prevent any growth or ability to regain some of the level of functioning that they've had.
And a very important thing is with the friend, the relative, the neighbor, the client, whatever, try to develop with them a positive outlook.
Right. And part of that is to help them come up with a plan for, okay, this is what you can do. It's not a question of you can't do anything. But let's look at, you know, well, what can you do this week?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Can you bathe every day or 3 days this week?
Mm-hmm.
And always kind of set things in a way that they can do it and yet, you know, still have another thing they can do next.
And if we see them slow down in one of their tasks, we don't need to just rush in and take it away and do it for them. We need to provide encouragement, maybe instruction.
Right.
But, just to take it away is not what we need to do. But maybe, you know, offer support. How can I help you?
Well, and the bottom line is to help them find a more positive outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean you're little Susie Sunshine. What it does mean is that you also point out, not because a lot of times they will be looking at their failures, the things they ought to be able to do, not what they have done. So helping them to say, look, this is where we are. Now, last week you said you were going to get up at, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning and stay out of bed until 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you were able to do that 3 times last week. Well, that's 2 better than you did the week before.
Right.
That suggests that you're making some progress.
Right. And failure isn't fatal.
No. And in fact, if it helps you to make that next step forward, it's actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't try, you might as well have failed anyway.
Right. Right, you're not going to get anywhere with it. One of the things that I have had struggles with at times was communicating with people who suffer from mental illness.
Well, it's difficult when you have your own issues with their as a family member or friend. You have their own issues with that person's losses and you know problems. But if you can do the things that you need to do to help them, then you are doing your part as a family member or friend. And some of those things are if you're going to talk to the person, face that person and maintain their eye contact.
Now, don't diminish them as a person by, you know, ignoring the societal principles that we would use or the courtesies we would extend to someone that was not mentally ill.
Right. Well, and maintaining eye contact basically says, I'm here with you. Mm-hmm. You know, we're communicating. And right. that's really what they need to know is you're there with them. It's not that you're experiencing the same thing that they are, but right. that you're there with them in their experience of it.
And another thing that comes up is that a lot of the medications that they take, if their thought processes were not already slowed, would slow their thought processes. So we need to be careful to present to them one thought at a time.
And especially when they're just starting a medication or right. they've just raised the dose on it, making sure that you're understood is important. Mm-hmm. And that's why you present one thought at a time and then make sure that they've kind of, you know, what did that mean to you?
Right.
You know, that
right.
sort of thing where you're asking them to tell you how they processed what you told them.
Yeah, because it's important that you have an understanding of what the statement or question is. Because I may assume one thing and their mind may be running in another direction.
Well, and sometimes with the bipolar disorder, as an example,
right.
you will find that paying attention is a very difficult thing for them to do. And it's true of kids with attention deficit
or adults with attention deficit.
Right.
So oh, man.
Yeah. So don't rush and speak in a calm manner. Because that way you're actually talking to them. They're not responding to you.
Right.
They're not just, you know, you're not just emoting towards them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you're angry, if it comes across as angry or accusing or, you know, then they're not going to respond to that in a positive way.
I think that might be a good thing to think about when you're talking to someone that's not mentally ill. Don't rush. I don't hear as fast as some people talk. I wish they would just slow down and speak calmly. But and not only do you want to speak to them, but you want to listen not just to what they say, but their thoughts and their feelings as well.
And there again, you can't do that if you're just wanting a yes or no answer and go on with it.
No.
So that's a... And you know, the other part or another part of that is to acknowledge their feelings.
Yes.
You know, if somebody is really feeling awful because they're not able to do schoolwork
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, then you need to acknowledge that, well, yeah, I can see how that would be, you know, make you unhappy because you've always done you know, prided yourself on your schoolwork or on your, you know, whatever it was. And now this isn't just true of people with mental illness. If you know someone who's had a stroke.
Yeah, you know, aphasic or whatever.
You really need to appreciate and acknowledge their feelings because those are valid.
Sometimes if you sense that the person is not understanding you, may need to change your words or rephrase it or something. Be ready to read the face of the person with whom you're speaking so that you can make whatever amends you need to.
Well, and sometimes you'll have to just, for lack of a better term, say time out.
Yeah.
You know, we're not accomplishing anything right here. And so I tell you what we'll do. I want you to think about this. I'll go think about it, and we'll discuss it, say, at if it's 5 o'clock now. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll discuss it at 7 when we've had a chance to think about it and just where we can start over with it.
We'll come back together and go. Let's skip down to learning to reduce stress, not only for the patient, the client, whatever we wished to refer to them as, but also the caregiver. Practice stress reduction strategies. I worked with a person quite some time back, and we went over relaxation techniques. And he came back in about 2 weeks, and he said, "Well, I got really stressed one day, and it tried those techniques, and they didn't work." I said, "No, didn't I sit there and say we needed to practice them each day? We should go over them each day." He said, "Oh, yeah, I guess I kind of forgot that."
Well, and you're right. Those stress reduction is something you need to do every day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a family member especially, you're just as stressed as the person who has the problem.
At least, yes.
So I guess we'll get into more things next week.
I guess we will. Bear in mind, if you would like more information, we are both available.
And if you would like for us to do a seminar for a group, we're more than willing to do that.
At a community center, at your office, for your employees, give us a call. We'll be happy to sit down with you and see what we can come up with that is mutually beneficial to all involved. I'm Howard Rogers.
And I'm Richard Morris.
Thanks for listening.
Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio.